The absence of charges for the officers who gunned down Breonna Taylor was an injustice. The treatment of protesters in Louisville and across the U.S. was an injustice. Dear listeners, this was part of an article written by Jake Johnson, writer. This article is published under the heading, Protesters and Lawmakers Demand Justice for Taylor 1 Year Later. Stay tuned for the details of this article, please. Hundreds of Americans rallied in downtown Louisville, Kentucky, and marched through the streets on Saturday, March 13th, to mark the one-year anniversary of the killing of Taylor, a 26-year-old black woman who was gunned down in her own home by city police officers, none of whom have been charged for her death. This is not a celebration. This is the anniversary of something that should not have happened. One speaker said at a Louisville event where Taylor's family, racial justice activists, and ordinary members of the community gathered to mourn the loss of Breonna and demand action from lawmakers and police departments beyond the small-scale reforms that followed the March 2020 killing. While Louisville in June banned no-knock raids of the kind that led to Taylor's death, local activists say far more needs to be done to hold the officers responsible for Taylor's death accountable, rein in law enforcement abuses, and remedy long-standing racial injustices. But the Kentucky state legislature, controlled by Republicans, is currently more focused on passing legislation to criminalize insulting police officers. This is about justice. This is about our power to change this world for our children. For my daughter, Sadiqa Reynolds, president of the Louisville Urban League, told a crowd of demonstrators on Saturday, March 13th. This is so we can make sure that not another person dies at the hands of police. Kentucky State Democratic Representative Atika Scott, the lead sponsor of legislation that would ban no-knock raids statewide, told NPR ahead of Saturday's events that in the 365 days since Taylor's killing, justice has not been served. Folks on the front lines are very clear that they are continuing to call for all of the officers involved in Breonna Taylor's murder to be fired, arrested, and charged for her murder, said Scott. They have not wavered from those demands. Two officers connected to the raid on Taylor's home, including the detective who investigators found fired the shot that killed Taylor, were terminated earlier this year. Brett Hankison, another officer involved in the raid, was fired last June and later charged with 3 counts of wanton endangerment for shooting into an apartment unit near Taylor's. In the wake of Taylor's death, Louisville banned no-knock warrants and set new guidelines for police raids. Even if Congress passes the Justice in Policing Act, states and localities would be left to pass their own reforms, as a few are already doing. Hundreds of protesters, meanwhile, have been arrested at demonstrations demanding justice for Taylor and accountability for officers who killed her. I can't believe it's a year later and we're still just asking people to do the right thing, Tamika Palmer, Taylor's mother, said in an interview earlier this week. Not to say all officers are bad, but there is no accountability. Lawmakers at the national level also mark the anniversary of Taylor's killing on social media. Today marks 365 days of injustice. Breonna Taylor's murder was an injustice. The ensuing cover-up was an injustice. Kentucky Attorney General Daniel Cameron's mockery of a grand jury hearing was an injustice, tweeted Representative Cori Bush. Representative Cori Bush added, "The absence of charges for the officers who gunned down Breonna was an injustice. The treatment of protesters in Louisville and across the U.S. was an injustice. That people no longer say Taylor's name as often as they should is an injustice," Bush continued. "A black woman was murdered by the U.S. police in her home in the middle of the night, and nothing has fundamentally changed. That's why we won't stop saying her name. That's why we have to legislate in defense of black lives in Congress."
Fruitful Moments with IRIB English Radio.
Log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
Start.
Movement.
Speed.
Live in hope.
Toward the pit.
On Youth Station.
Youth Station. Youth Station.
I am a Muslim.
I am a Muslim.
Islamite.
Islamite.
Allah my Lord.
Allah my Lord.
His word Quran.
His word Quran.
Muhammad Prophet.
Muhammad Prophet.
Praise be upon.
Praise be upon.
I am Muslim for all of time.
Bismillah.
By the first verse of the Holy Quran.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim.
Allah will bless you.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim.
Protect you.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim.
Help you.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim.
So ask His blessings.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim.
His protection.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim.
His help.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah, ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters, boys and girls, and other life forms. Welcome to today's episode of Youth Station.
Choo-choo-ka-choo, it's the Youth Station for you. I'm Muzaffar Haider.
And I am Zainab.
There's been a lot of propaganda against Islam, obviously, we know, since 9/11 especially. There's been a lot, a huge, huge propaganda campaign against Islam and Muslims, and particularly...
Why won't they get tired of it, though? I'm so bored. I'm waiting for something new.
Well, I was just thinking about this. Think about it. It's only been 42 years since the Islamic Revolution. Imagine if there had been no negative propaganda against Islam in all of this time. It would have boomed. Wow. This religion, there's only one God. There's the Quran. There's the Ahlul Bayt. And did you know that before 9/11, Islam was the fastest growing religion in America? Like, it was booming. It was, like,
thriving.
Really, it was thriving. Like, it was growing like anything, like wildfire. Imagine Malcolm X and then, you know, the black right civil movements and everything. Islam was incredibly appealing, even for the white population, right? So it was really growing. And all over the world, this was happening. They had to do 9/11. They had to start this whole war on Islam, not war on terror. They had to start synonymizing Islam with terrorism, because if they had not, it just would have grown exponentially. There would have been no stop to it, right? Imagine there's no hostility towards Islam. There's no fear towards it. suddenly Muslims themselves feel comfortable going to people and talking to them about Islam. Yeah, this is my religion. Why don't you check it out? It would have been really friendly and nice, and Islam would have taken over by now in a positive way. So they had to do it, and they're not going to get tired in doing it either, but they are. It is going to backfire, because even despite this propaganda, Islam has continued to grow. Now, one of the things that they do is they attack our slogans. I don't know if you've noticed how they have depicted our beautiful phrase Allahu Akbar out there.
Yeah, I actually saw this news that was calling it terrorist slogan.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
And some of the folks on social media came out and said, no, it's not a terrorist slogan. It's a beautiful statement in our religion. What does it mean, Allahu Akbar?
Why, what does it mean, sister? I'm not falling for that trap. It's a trap. It's a trap. It's a trap.
It is.
It is a trap, to answer that question.
Allahu Akbar. Okay, so literally it means Allah is bigger. I know. Akbar, right. From kebara, kabir. Yeah. Allah is biggest, right?
Allah is greatest.
But then, yeah, we want to make it so that it would make sense, more sense in the English language. Allah is greatest. Greatest than what? Are we even comparing anything to Allah?
So one of the companions of Imam Sadiq alayhi salam, he was asked, what does Allahu Akbar mean? So the companion said, it means Allah is greater. Imam Sadiq alayhi salam says, greater than what?
What?
And he says, did you just say what?
I did.
You did just say what?
Yeah.
Greater than what? And then Imam Sadiq says, greater than what? So the companion says, greater than everything and all things. Mm. Imam Sadiq says, you've just done shirk.
Mm.
He says, what do you mean? Imam says, well, you've just compared Allah
exactly.
to everything else, right? He is incomparable. So Allahu Akbar has a greater meaning than that.
And it means he is greater than you can imagine.
Mm-hmm. Then can be inculcated. Yeah. He is greater. Just let's leave it at that. It's going to get
period.
Too complicated.
He is greater, period. That's it.
The beautiful thing, youths out there, they often want to have like a murabbi, you know, like a spiritual teacher. You know, somebody who will hold them by the hand, you know, like a Jedi master and guide them through the whole thing. Let me tell you, dear brothers and sisters, there is no greater murabbi for you out there than your salah. Your salah guides you through everything. And I'm being a hypocrite for saying this because, you know, we often end up rushing our prayers. But if we actually just pay attention to what we're doing, and right now, obviously, I want to focus on that first thing that we do when we enter into the state of prayer. We say, Allahu Akbar, the takbiratul ihram. We're actually denouncing and disassociating ourselves from everything. Not my family, not my kids, not my house,
position,
my position.
My knowledge, my degree, my turban, my clothes, my career, my friends, my money, my wealth.
None of it
my
matters
cat.
Anymore. Right? You're saying, Allahu Akbar, Allah is greater. And you're letting it all go.
Mm.
And you're putting yourself now into the hands of Allah.
That's beautiful.
Right. So this is one of the most important and significant slogans in Islam. And it makes sense that the enemy would try to villainize it.
Mm. Demonize it.
Make it look bad.
Because association is a culture, is a thing. We do that all the time. And even when we look at the media or when we look at Hollywood productions, they are so keen on creating that mental association, establishing it in our minds,
mm-hmm.
so that when the situation presents itself in reality, we would automatically return to that setting that has been created for us prior to this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, something that I feel like, okay, it has nothing to do with Allahu Akbar, but zombies.
Zombies, right.
Imagine a situation, okay? I'm going to draw this situation to you. Tell me what's the first thing that comes to your mind.
Okay, I'm going to close my eyes.
A great event takes place on planet
Earth.
Right? Yeah. And then suddenly the dead start rising from the grave.
Okay. Oh, the Day of Judgment.
Raj'ah.
Oh, Raja. I didn't think of that.
You were supposed to be my favorite co-host. What happened?
You said the first thing that comes to your mind. You said great event. I thought of Imam Zaman. You said zombies coming out of the ground. Well, you thought dead people coming out. That's the resurrection.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay, but Raja. Okay, right? Let's go with that.
I feel like this sort of association, creating themes in the mind of people and then associating it with certain...
Right, I see.
Something that in a religious context could be a hopeful...
Oh, my God. Yeah, you're right. So purely from an Islamic perspective, the idea of the dead coming back is a good thing. It's a beautiful...
Whether it's Raja, whether it's Qiyamah, whether it's anything.
These are your ancestors.
Exactly.
These are your loved ones. They're coming back now. But because you've watched so many Hollywood movies... You're going to lose your head. You're not just going to lose your head. You're going to grab a baseball bat and try and smash your dead, deceased relative dead again.
I'm not trying to turn Islam into this superficial thing, right? That, you know, oh my God, she's a conspiracy theorist and she's connecting zombies to Yawm al-Qiyamah now. But I'm saying that Hollywood is very keen on creating these associations, this theme in our minds. Or like, you know how these last few years they've been making Antichrist, Messiah movies, left, right, and center.
Netflix made that Messiah series as well.
And Netflix made, and it got canceled. But again, I feel like they...
Do you know why it got canceled?
They did it on purpose, obviously.
We got it canceled. Alhamdulillah.
What?
We got it canceled. The Muslims, the brothers and sisters out there, especially one of my brothers out there, he has a YouTube channel, he did it. And him and others, they called them up, they sent them constant emails. It was on the news and everything. They said that if you don't remove this, we're going to get all of our subscribers to cancel their Netflix subscriptions. So yeah, they probably would have continued with it, sister. They got so much negativity and resistance that they had to. But yeah, carry on.
So basically, yeah. And why did they feel that this needs to be canceled? Because it's creating that negative association in the minds of the people, right? And when the actual event presents itself, people are going to be confused because their minds are going to go back to that thing that has been encrypted, that movie that has encrypted a message in
it. Yeah, I mean, I want to give another example as well. Lord Voldemort.
Yeah.
You know, this spirit coming back. This idea of a lord and he's
coming back,
And his servants are like secretive and you know, they're going to serve him and he's going to come back and, you know, and even, you know, Professor Quirrell in the first one, he's a guy with a turban.
Right? Exactly.
So, yeah, there is that. And the good guys are those who are trying to protect the secret order. And the symbol in the last book is actually a triangle with a circle inside. So, yeah, you're right. Let's not go into this whole conspiracy
side
of things.
Exactly.
If you do a little bit of digging, you're absolutely right.
So they're trying to associate Allahu Akbar with this cult, with this terrorist cult as well, because it's the easiest way to trigger a person's mind. A non-Muslim could travel to Dubai, to Turkey, to Iran, even to Qatar, and then they suddenly hear the call for Adhan. And it's going to trigger something in their heart.
Exorcist. Have you seen the movie Exorcist?
They're going to lose their head, and they're going to be like, am I going to explode now?
Am I going to be killed? Have you seen the movie Exorcist?
No.
It was probably the most terrifying movie of the 70s. It's about a little girl who gets possessed.
Yeah.
It's got nothing to do with Islam. Absolutely nothing. And yet the first opening sequence is of Allahu Akbar.
Why?
And they have the adhan. And they actually show the origins of the demon that possesses the child.
Is it a Muslim demon? It comes from that place.
No, it wasn't a Muslim demon.
Interesting.
But that association is definitely very clear in
Hollywood. Yeah, and they do it blatantly. They do it on purpose. And they're trying to do that with the term Allahu Akbar as well. And unless we, I wouldn't say redefine, but put it back in its rightful place and present it to people again as it is, and most probably smack the idiots that use Allahu Akbar before they want to explode themselves. Lock them up forever and ever. You know, we need to create a new understanding, a proper understanding of not just the term Allahu Akbar, but all these Islamic terminologies and phrases and expressions that exist.
Yeah.
Have you had non-Muslim friends that when speaking to you, they'd say, inshallah?
No.
But it's the cutest thing. I've had non-Muslim friends that do that. Or what, they'd see me and they'd say, Salaamu Alaikum. And I'm like, you're not even Muslim. It doesn't work that way. Or like, I've had non-practicing friends that when they were around me, they'd wear the hijab. Isn't that cute? Didn't that just make your heart go
boop?
So if we create that love again.
The revival. Exactly. The revival has to take place. The revolution has to take place globally in people's minds. They need to.
Exactly.
Because, okay, if we think about this false perception that's been created about Islam, think of it as a taghut, as a tyrannical king now. It's taking control. And we need to overthrow it in the minds of people and place Islam back on its pedestal where it belongs.
Definitely. Everyone's saying that we have to represent Islam again, and we have to put it back in its rightful place, and we have to bring down the regimes that usurped the position of Islam and this and that. Your phone just did a thing. But have we even been able to do that for ourselves on an individual, personal level internally?
No.
Exactly. I haven't even been able to remove myself and replace Islam.
Yeah. What's wrong with us?
Let alone do it on a global scale.
Stop judging us.
You know what I mean?
You're right. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
So I think the first step is to start with ourselves.
You have to start the revolution.
If I understand the true meaning of Allahu Akbar, that Allah is greater than anything I can imagine. Allah is greater than anything I love. Allah is greater than anything I rely on. And I think I need in my life. Only He exists. Nothing else. There's nothing aside from Him. And move toward that. And channel everything I do through that stream, then maybe I don't need to change the world. The world will start evolving on its own because I'm changing. I think because Islam has been under the spotlight for the last 20 years and everyone is constantly scrutinizing and overanalyzing, and they're obviously, you know, thick-headed, numbskull, evil people with evil intentions that are fueling this devastating situation. We need to be more aware, and we need to be more alert, and we need to be more careful. The same way the people who turned Allahu Akbar horrible were so-called quote-unquote Muslims. They had a long beard, and they prayed, and they probably fasted more than I did. Right? Unless, they were mercenaries or something. But they thought they were doing the right thing, and they thought that they're killing themselves in the path of Allah, and they're becoming shaheed. We need to get our facts right and realize that, am I doing something for the sake of Allah, the way He wants it done, or the way I think He wants it?
That's all we have time for today.
Thank you so very much for being with us on this episode of Youth Station. Until another segment, I leave you in the care and protection of the Almighty. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
I am what I am because you made. I have what I have. My love is strong. Because you are the one I call creator, my Alpha and Omega, my protector and my maker. Because of you, in weakness I am braver, my defender and my savior, my giver and my taker. Abiding in silence with patience and guidance, aware when I need you, a light when I seek you, justice, forgiveness, the strength in my weakness, and my love is strong.
Food for thought. Hello, everybody. Today, on the eve of the auspicious birthday anniversary of the Prophet's younger grandson, Imam Hussein, peace be upon him, we present you a thought-stimulating description about our eventual fate, that is, death. I advise you to adhere to God-wariness, warn you against the difficult days, and show you the signs of God. The feared, that is, death, is about to come, with its frightful arrival, drastic befalling, and horrible taste. It will lap your souls and impede you from acting. As long as you enjoy sound physique and enough time, take the initiative in acting, because you may suffer the sudden visit of death that takes you from the surface of the earth to its inside, from its highest point to the lowest, from its affability to its loneliness, from its ease and light to its gloom, and from its wideness to its narrowness, where the intimate friend cannot be visited, the ill cannot be called on, and the seeker of help cannot be aided.
We are with you. What about you? IRIB English Radio. Log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
Welcome to The Light. Let's go to the U.S. where a baby giraffe has explored his habitat at the Indianapolis Zoo for the first time. In a sunny day, Kendi playfully made his first public appearance along with his mother and the herd. The cute calf was born in November and has no siblings yet. Giraffes are native to sub-Saharan Africa, so the zookeepers only allow them to be outside when the weather is not wet or cold. Two tiny islands in South Korea have become tourist attractions by turning almost everything to purple. They are now known as Purple Islands. Banwol and Bakji Islands used to be abandoned locations with small populations of elderly people. But everything changed when residents launched a popular campaign there in 2015. Inspired by their native balloon flower, they started painting the houses, roads and bridges in different shades of purple. They planted more purple flowers on the islands and wore clothes with the same color. Restaurants on the islands also started serving purple food.
We couldn't travel overseas due to COVID-19, so we thought about a local trip instead and found these purple islands. It's amazing and looks like fairy tales and magic. As I'm seeing, the grandmas are all wearing purple clothes. It is very dreamy.
The tourists also praise the welcoming spirit of the islands, who offer a free entry to the visitors dressed in purple. The campaign has changed the island's ambience, adding liveliness and activity to the routine of its residents. It's also attracted the government support, which has invested more than $4 million to turn the islands purple. World-renowned musician Yo-Yo Ma has transferred a COVID-19 vaccine waiting room to a concert hall in the U.S. city of Pittsburgh. played the pieces after receiving a second dose of the coronavirus jab. Dozens of socially distanced people who had just received their second shot listened on at the Berkshire Community College while waiting for the 15-minute mandatory observation period to end. Yo-Yo Ma, who is a local resident, has said his performance was meant to give something back to the community.
Rations in the town of Yaryapolsky mark the end of winter with a colorful Maslenitsa celebration. People dressed in costumes march in the center of the town, which lies some 170 kilometers from Moscow. After some friendly competitions, participants burn the effigy of Maslenitsa. This marks the end of winter and was believed to fertilize the soil and bring a good harvest in the upcoming autumn.
The Maslenitsa went great. We have been sitting at home for a long time because of this COVID, but now everything is fine.
Maslenitsa is celebrated during the last week before the Christian festival of Lent. It is a last chance to the upcoming weeks to eat dairies and meat, which are forbidden in the upcoming fasting time. The festival began as a pagan ritual, but was later absorbed into the Russian Orthodox Christian tradition.
Now, the first gorilla born in the Berlin Zoo in 16 years finally has a name. The naming day was celebrated with no visitors due to the coronavirus pandemic. However, zookeepers made the day special for the tiny Tilla and her first-time mother with their favorite treats. The baby was born in mid-February. After a few weeks, the zoo received over 17,000 name suggestions for her. The low number of female firefighters across the world may indicate women's lack of interest in the job, but this female-only Brazilian firefighter crew is here to prove the opposite. The all-female team say their main goal is to empower women through the work they do. They say they are willing to prove that women can take any job that can help society. The firefighting crew started their activity just on Monday on International Women's Day. They work in southeastern Brazilian state. Although women have a variety of fire service roles in different countries, they account for less than 20% of firefighters worldwide.
China's commercial hub Shanghai is not only filled up with skyscrapers, but this cosmopolitan city has many incredible things to attract domestic and foreign tourists as well. Unofficial statistics show Shanghai is China's de facto capital of animal cafes, which are growing in terms of numbers and the variety of species that they host. There are now all kinds of animal coffee shops there. One of these venues is filled with cute furry raccoons, which sometimes tug at customers' clothes while they are served their food. In another cafe, clients can enjoy the company of outlandish reptiles as they sip hot drinks. Those who frequent these bistros say the activity helps them relax and forget the hustle and bustle of city life. An advert showcasing a bowling alley has become an instant hit online. By combining expert drone flying techniques and impressive filmmaking skills, the 90-second-long one-take video is titled Right Up Our Alley. The journey begins with a drone flying over the Bryant Lake Bowl in the U.S. city of Minneapolis before swooping inside the venue at a remarkable speed. The device then flies over bowling lanes and small passageways, taking the audience on a tour of the entire facility. The footage ends by the drone crashing into the bowling pegs. The video has already racked up millions of views online.
Yeah, I think there's some skepticism there of it being a true one take. It is a true one take. There's no CGI. That was kind of interesting, but also the positive nature of it, of people seeing the skill that it takes and the unique ability to like combine the skill of an amazing pilot, the technology of the drone, and the story that, thank you, the story that actually can be told through a one take.
The footage was shot by a quadcopter drone. It took the pilot and the director about 10 to 12 attempts over 2 hours to produce the perfect take. The filmmakers undertook the project free of charge. Their aim was to help local businesses recover from the coronavirus-related losses.
A Swedish scuba diver is using his skills to clean up the underwater environment.
My name is Fredrik Johansson, and 2 years ago I started up a project called Rena Malaren. We have two goals. One is to get a lot of toxic waste up from the water, and the other thing is to make people aware of this planet and to do better.
A number of Swedish scuba divers have voluntarily joined Johansson's program. They pull out harmful waste and trash from waterways and lakes. Johansson says he is shocked by the number of polluting fragments discovered in the Swedish marine environment. He says one of the main polluting factors is lead batteries discarded from boats. He says many waterways in the capital Stockholm are littered with these used batteries.
A new study has revealed a sad fact. Humans have destroyed around two-thirds of the world's tropical rainforests. According to a report by Rainforest Foundation Norway, logging and land conversion has ruined 34% of tropical rainforests. They have also caused degradation of another 30%, which makes the forest more vulnerable to fire and destruction. The report says that since 2002, over half of the vanishing has occurred in South America's Amazon. Experts believe the loss of tropical forests makes climate change worse. Japan is famous for its vending machines, but the technology is now being used to improve public access to coronavirus test kits. A group of medical experts in a clinic has set up 7 vending machines across the capital, Tokyo, to sell their test kits. Customers take the PCR test and then mail off their saliva sample for processing. Each machine holds 60 kits. The idea was met with great enthusiasm from people. It helps them to avoid crowded clinics.
Without PCR tests, we can't make a diagnosis. Early diagnosis and early treatment is a basic idea for all diseases. But unfortunately, there is no treatment for COVID-19. So I strongly felt that we had to do early diagnosis and early isolation.
Experts believe the number of PCR tests conducted in Japan is extremely low. They hope that the initiative can increase the figure. The machines sell the kits at around $40 each.
Teams of racing dog enthusiasts have converged on the Russian city of Irkutsk to participate in a 150-kilometer marathon on ice. The contest was held on the icy surface of the famous Baikal Lake. The racers, who started off at 5 p.m., had to put up tents and use warm equipment to withstand temperatures as low as minus 12 degrees Celsius to spend the night. Participants are free to choose their tactics throughout the race.
What's good about this race is its straightforward format. Now the racers start off and we will stop the clock when they arrive. Where they sleep and eat and how they cover the distance is a matter of their personal strategy and tactics. This is a contest for the real athletes.
The dogs can help their owners find the right direction in case they are lost on the frosty path. They can seek help from other rivals too. The Baikal race is an annual event that was held for the 7th consecutive time this year.
Get ready for a big dose of cuteness. In India, dozens of little turtles have been released into sea. Forest officials in a southern Indian town let loose 131 endangered turtle hatchlings. They had kept the eggs for over 50 days until the day came to set them free. The environmentalists also plan to release 4 other cute turtles, which are still too shy to come out of their cozy eggs. Marine turtles have existed for more than 100 million years. The numbers have fallen in the past few years due to human activities.
That's a wrap up. Thank you so much for being with us, and bye-bye.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, in the name of Allah the Most High. Dear brothers and sisters, Salamun Alaikum. You are listening to today's special from IRIB English Radio. The topic of this episode is Fear of God.
So far from you, yet to me you were always so close. I wandered lost in the dark. I closed my eyes to all the signs you put in my way. I walked every day further and further away from you. Ooh, Allah, you brought me home. I thank you with every breath I take.
Today, Tuesday, is the 2nd of Sha'ban 1442 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 26th of Isfan 1399 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 16th of March 2021 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. We bless this moment by recitation of Surah Ar-Rahman, Verses 46-47.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم ولمن خاف مقام ربه جنتان.
But for he who has feared the position of his Lord are two gardens.
فبأي آلاء ربكما تكذبان.
So which of the favors of your Lord would you deny?
لا إله إلا الله لا إله إلا الله.
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
ما لنا رب سوى.
Fearing standing before Allah, the Almighty prevents men from committing sins and will lead to paradise. Or he who fears standing before his Lord, there shall be two gardens in paradise. Fearing standing before Lord means that one who knows Allah Almighty through his greatness, glory, and lordship, such knowledge causes fear in him, and there shall be two gardens in paradise for him. How to feel fearful. So, it is necessary to fix the belief in God as well as the concepts of the judgment day, divine rewards, punishment, paradise, and hell. Fear is in fact one of the fruits of faith. In Quran chapter 8, verse 2, Allah says, "When Allah is mentioned, the true believers begin to feel fear of Him in their hearts, and when His revelations are recited to them, their faith strengthens. In Allah alone do they trust." It is necessary to listen to the touching sermons and words of wisdom that create fear and reverence. It is necessary to survey the manners of the fearful, including their states of reverence and submission. Imam Sadiq alayhi salam, in one of his supreme supplications, says, I weep, and why do I not weep? While I do not know what will my destiny be, and I see my soul cheat me, and my days deceive me, and the wings of death are flapping near my head, why then do I not weep? I weep for the departure of my soul, for the gloom of my grave, for the narrowness of my sepulcher, for the interrogation of Munkar and Nakir, for my going out of my grave naked, humble, and overburdened.
Dr. Fakhr Rohani.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim wa bi nasta'in. In this episode, we are going to be concerned with fearing God. We find that those people who fear God may fear Him for three reasons. One of them is that those people who fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and never do anything against the wills and instructions and teachings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, certainly they will be rewarded in a very beautiful way, and that is receiving the divine paradise. In the Holy Quran we find it expressed in this way. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Wa amma man khafa maqama rabbihi wa naha an-nafsa 'an al-hawa fa innal jannata hiya al-ma'wa. Certainly anybody who fears the status of his Lord, I mean Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and has prohibited his soul from doing anything against the wills and desires of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, فَإِنَّ الْجَنَّةَ هِيَ الْمَأْوَى. Certainly the abode will be the divine paradise. Now we find that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam expressed it in another way, that one of the precious things before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the drop of tear shed in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Thank you.
Special topics for a special program. You can listen today, now and here, IRIB English Radio.
May this moment last forever in your hearts, a day you'll always remember every part.
Today's a special.
This feeling of love, just let it grow forever through your life. Bring beautiful years of joy between you till the end of time.
Fear must be balanced by hope. If we were a bird who is flying to Allah, we would have the wing of hope in Allah's mercy and acceptance of our broken deeds, and the wing of fear that we have not worshipped Him as much as He deserves in the highest mode of excellence and essence. We need the wing of hope and the wing of fear to work together in harmony and in balance for us. Fly correctly, each flap drawing closer and closer to Him out of love and yearning to be with Him. Acting from fear and acting from love deliver different outcomes. When you act from fear, you feel forced and you do not necessarily complete your action properly. Whereas if you act out of love, then you give it everything you can. You act from the bottom of your heart and deliver 110%. The fear of hellfire is real, but it is a deterrent. Fear has to be mixed with love of Allah Almighty and hope in His mercy. All three are essential and work in unison.
Allahu الذي لا إله إلا هو.
Now, how to be fearful of Allah. This is IRIB English Radio, today's special, and how to be fearful of Allah. Two eyes are very valuable in the presence of Allah. One is the eye that cries due to his sins, fearing Allah. The other is the one who keeps guard in order to protect honor, property, and lives of Muslims from the enemy and to defend the country. The Messenger of Allah went near a young man who was about to die. He asked him, "How do you feel, O young man?" The young man said, "O Messenger of Allah, I'm hopeful of Allah, but I fear my sins." The Messenger of Allah said the following, "When hope and fear come together in the heart of a slave, Allah will definitely give that person what he hopes and makes him safe from what he is afraid of."
How did you lose when Allah gave you so many opportunities? And so, وَأَنْتُ خَلِّدَ فِيهَا الْمُعَانَدِينَ. Those stubborn ones, they are the ones who will really end up in hell. But they may be the minority of people. We really believe in the rahmah of Allah. 99% of God's mercy is saved for the day of judgment. 99%. All the mercy that you see in this world, whether it's the compassion that animals have towards their offspring, humans have towards each other, the blessings God has given us, that's less than 1%. And 99% is for the day of judgment. But we need to benefit by preparing ourselves for the day of judgment. If we don't, it's our loss, my dear brothers and sisters. It's our loss. Even one single prayer that we miss, it's my loss. Some people think God really needs our prayers. It's my loss. Even a single prayer. Because that one prayer is you connecting to the source of infinity. That's valuable. That relationship with your Lord is valuable. See how the Ahlul Bayt, peace be upon them, give us amazing perspective to our deeds. So the Almighty God has given us this opportunity in our life. Allah has given us free will. Allah says, "I've enabled you. I've given you the tools." The more you benefit from these tools, the more you will be saved on the day of judgment. Even though God might forgive me, but imagine, if I miss out on those highest levels of paradise for eternity, that's a big source of regret for me on the day of judgment. Let's say, my dear brothers, there was no hell. There wasn't. It's impossible for you to go to hell, but there are levels in paradise. Is it worth it for 60, 70 years that passed by within a blink of an eye for me to waste that eternity on the day of judgment? That's why one of the names of the day of judgment is Yawmul Hasra, the day of regret. Why did I not do more? There's no going back. I'm stuck with whatever deeds I did, even if there's no hell. But I missed out on that opportunity. Is it worth it to squander that opportunity for 50, 60 years?
I think that's a good topic for discussion, so we continue on the next episode of today's special, inshallah. Till then, fi amanallah.
بسم الله لنا فتح ذكر الله لنا حسن لطف الله لنا عون نعلو به درجات بسم الله لنا فتح ذكر الله لنا حسن لطف الله لنا عون نعلو به درجات نعلو به درجات.
What you heard was an IRIB English radio program. Our website is www.parstoday.com/en. This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.